Asta e putea să spun la tia ta fa, nu tia amine.
Krishna, Krishna.
So, Hare Krishna, I want to first of all thank all of you for coming. Some of you have not been so much on time this time. If it is possible, please try to be on time. Then it's much easier to start the seminar. This seminar is called My Relationship to Krishna, and we will be having it every day. Few days, and it is built in a way that when you leave the seminar, it is built up in such a way that we wish to take you through different steps which will most properly help you to become more aware of your present, the present way in which you are relating to Krishna, and which will give you hopefully some powerful tools to go deeper into your relationship, your own relationship with Krishna. I must say I'm a little bit excited to call to do this seminar. I've given in the past a seminar in Radhadesh with the same title, which was a little bit like an experiential seminar. Now this is the final version. And we will do a few unconventional things during the seminar. I will try to go with you on different types of meditational journeys in which you meditate. So for this, it is quite good if you come to the seminar well rested, if I may dare to say, because I have experienced in larger gatherings, New Age gatherings, when I did this meditational journeys, that sometimes we lost some of our travelers to the kingdom of sleep. In the fourth canto of the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we hear about the need to approach a spiritual master to learn from him. In fact, several enlightened souls, to learn what from them? What is the learning goal? What you should learn? Lord Krishna is defining this learning goal in the 35th text, which comes directly after the very well-known Tatvidi Pranipatina verse. He says, having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will see that all beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. When we learn, we must know what we want to learn, and it seems the goal of spiritual knowledge is to know that everyone is part of Krishna and mine. That is a relationship to Krishna. I want to ask you now a few startling questions. You will. I want to request you to turn to your next neighbor, who you may not know. You will have to discuss in 3 minutes the longest, the most difficult question in your life. What kind of God is Krishna for you? What do you feel for him? Is he a loving God for you, full of understanding? A kind God? Does he care for you? Is he maybe a little in the distance at this moment, and a little full of revenge, frightful, absent, full of rage? and impersonal. My question to you is, what kind of relationship do you have with him at the present moment? What do you feel for him? Is it something like a friendship? Or simply the certainty that he is there and observes you? Or the knowledge that he controls everything, like when you go on Sankirtan, that he is behind what happens on the street? Do you have the feeling to be accepted by Krishna, or do you feel he is not satisfied with you and has left you all alone? Please turn to your neighbor now and discuss with him honestly what is in your mind. After only 3 minutes, you will be extremely concentrated. I have to be extremely concentrated. I will give you this sign, which means that the exercise is over. Hare Krishna, have you made sure that the other person has also had an opportunity to say something? Please, if not, make sure.
Distant, distant, but the poverty went up.
Krishna, thank you very much. So I know that in the short time allotted for this exercise, it will not be possible to really give a satisfying answer to this, but I would like to urge you to sometimes think about this question in your own private life. What type of relationship to Krishna do I have at the present moment? I was forced to think about this process, this question 2 weeks ago when I almost died in a swimming accident. And I had gone to Tenerife, an island before the coast of Spain and Africa, and after a very demanding day of preaching there, I went for a swim in the ocean. And while I was swimming, I was thinking, wow, you swim so fast. You have learned the art of swimming just by staying on land. This is one of the different gifts of Lord Krishna to someone who practices bhakti, apparently. But when I tried to return to the coast, I noticed that I couldn't return. Not only could I not swim back, but I lost ground. By my assistant's mercy, I had a diver's glass on, and I was looking at the beautiful Atlantic, the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, and I was seeing, although I was swimming and swimming and swimming, I was violently pushed to the sea. I knew what this was. This was the receding, this was a current which went outside and which I remembered had caused the death of many, many people who think the Atlantic Ocean is similar to the Mediterranean Sea. It's not. There are powerful currents there. And yearly, the ocean devours I can't give an exact number, but between 100 and 200, I heard. So I knew I was one of the victims. At that time, I very much panicked. I was not behaving like a very thoughtful Swami. I really had hoped to die in Vrindavan with loving devotees around me chanting the holy name. But here I was drowning like an ordinary German tourist. I swallowed a lot of water, and finally I could compose myself and pray to my dear Krishna, to the Lord. My dear Lord Krishna, this is the time of death for me, which you have chosen, or which due to my own foolishness I have chosen. I do not yet know. Then you kindly give me at this time a composed mind to remember you. And then I put my second prayer. And if you think that there is a way out of this dilemma, please give me the intelligence to escape the ocean. At that time I thought, oh, what is my relationship to the person I'm calling now? I have not called for the GBC at this moment. I have not called to my father at this moment. I called to Srila Prabhu, to Krishna, really, at this moment. But what was my relationship? You want to change the microphones? Okay. Yes, no problem. When I thought about this question, I thought, well, if I get out of here, I will think more about this. So, at this particular moment, I got a very amazing realization of Krishna's mercy. All of a sudden, I just felt intuitively what to do now. The instruction was very simple. When the waves come, which goes towards the coast, you just swim as long as you can on the waves, because they go over the receding current to the coast, huh? And then when you have lost the wave, you just, you don't do anything and allow yourself to be swept back into the ocean, because you stand no chance. And this is what I did. I swam full speed with the in-rolling waves, and when the waves were lost, at that time, I just allowed myself to be swept back. So 15 meters to the coast, 14 meters back, 15 meters to the coast, 14 meters back, 15 meters to the coast. For half an hour, we struggled for dear life. Hare Krishna, Yasaki, welcome. We struggled for dear life, and at the end, we were on the coast. It was the most severe struggle. When I was on the coast, the real struggle started. I felt I was not saved. I felt I had been saved from the tiny little puddle called the Atlantic Ocean, but I'm still swimming in the ocean of material existence. This feeling overwhelmed me that, no, for the first time, my Lord, by showing me the ferocious form of the puddle, that is the Atlantic Ocean, you have made clear to me what is the strength of Maya, the material energy. For the first time, I really know that I'm a victim of the currents of the material world. The ocean, the waves of happiness and distress are throwing me around. So please save me from this ocean. And I had to think at that time again about my relationship. By that time I had already finished the preparation for the seminar. I began to overhaul the whole seminar after this experience, to make it a little bit more relevant. If you call out for somebody's help, it's good if you have a relationship at that time to that person. It helps. So, with this seminar, I really want to urge you, my dear audience, to go with us through the different exercises. When I requested you to discuss about your present relationship, some of you were talking about the lunch or other subject matters. Please do the exercises you requested to get most maximum use of the seminar. And please, come on time so that we can really work together for 4 or 5 days. I have to still see how long it is exactly. The human form of life which we have all obtained is especially meant as an opportunity to re-establish your relationship with Krishna. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, 9th chapter text 28, it is very nicely described that the Lord had created so many species of life and was not satisfied. Because in these different species of life, a very important function could not be done. I would like to read this verse to you. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, expanding his own potency, Maya Shakti, created innumerable species of life to house the conditioned souls. Yet by creating the forms of trees, reptiles, animals, birds, snakes, and so on, the Lord was not satisfied within his heart. Then he created human life, which offers the conditioned soul sufficient intelligence to perceive the absolute truth and became satisfied. Became pleased is the word. When we have arrived at the human form of life, it's very important to utilize this God-given gift, the intelligence to perceive the absolute truth. Sometimes I feel that devotees of this wonderful international Society for Krishna Consciousness have only done half of the job in their life. They have joined a spiritual institution and now they expect that there will be an automatic relationship with Krishna. It will somehow happen. These devotees often find out after a few years that not much has happened. They sometimes also become dissatisfied because they expected something to happen on the social platform, security, stability of their lives. And they have found that ISKCON has not always been 100% successful to make them socially stabilized. I say it in a very generous terms. I could talk in bitter language, but this is not necessary for you. These devotees have sometimes the feeling, oh, I have missed out on the opportunity to really perceive the absolute truth in my life. They have not purposefully worked on their relationship with Krishna. It is said when the soul is in the plant and stone life, it is in avrita cetana, or covered consciousness. When the soul comes into the animal life, it is in the sankuchita cetana, or contracted, or shrunk consciousness. It's always when... This is about my 25th woolen pullover in this life. The other 24 were washed too hot and have shrunk, and I had to give them to the Gurukul. a shrunken consciousness is something like a shrunken pullover. It is contracted. Some the width and everything is lacking. When the soul arrives in the human form of life, he's in Mukulita Chetana, or budding consciousness. A bud means a possibility. A budding flower indicates that soon the flower will show colors and smell when it opens. So the opening process of consciousness is called the Vikarchita Chetana, the blossoming consciousness, which happens when a devotee takes to rules and regulations which govern his life. Or let us say, when a religious person takes to the Christian prayers, his consciousness begins to blossom. But only on the fifth level, it is called the Purva Vikarchita Chetana, will there be a direct realization of God. This Purva Puna Vikarchita Chetana means the completely blossomed consciousness where there is love for Krishna. Whom do you love, my dear audience? If you ever ask yourself the question, where is your love at this moment placed? Once a king and his queen were meditating, according to the way of the Buddha, and the king had a very big realization which stopped his meditation. He waited for the queen to stop his meditation, and then he said to her, "My dear queen, don't take it personally. I just realized I don't love you. I only love myself." The queen smiled at her husband and said, "I would not have dared to express myself without you making the start, but I realized also when I was just meditating, I only love myself. Please don't take it personally." This is very difficult to not take it personally in a marriage. They had difficulties and went to Lord Buddha. What should we do? We only love ourselves. Lord Buddha said, now you got it. This is the starting point. You have realized what material consciousness means. We love ourselves. And I once had two disciples who went for the first time to Mayapur and were brought into a little camp of tents for the latecomers to the festival. And I was eating a very nice opulent breakfast with Jayapataka Maharaj, you know, where he sits on the top of the lotus building. And we were enjoying different varieties of the Bengali kitchen when all of a sudden we saw a pillar of smoke just before. And we ran towards where it was and saw, we went to the end of the roof and saw the tent encampment before us was just devoured by flames. Pillar of fire and smoke was there, which reached up to us. We thought, "Oh no!" And Jayapataka Maharaj's "oh no" might have been an organizational and charitable "oh no," but my "oh no" was, "What is with these two people? One is from an aristocratic background. I'm trying to cultivate them. This is the first time they have just arrived. They will be skeletons in a few minutes, and I will be the kind host." So we went out, ran down, and the first thing I saw was this aristocratic lady running out of the fire, not being properly dressed. She had just laid down to sleep, and we're like, "Wow, good that you are here. I'm so pleased to see you." And then I quickly organized a chadar, and then we saw the other, her husband, who had lost his glasses and was highly irritated. after they were pacified to some extent, I mean, they had lost their money, their passports and everything to some extent, the pacification was. I asked them, I'm so sorry that I have to ask you this question, but what were you thinking when you woke up in the flames? And she said, I was thinking, oh no, I should never follow an invitation of Satchinandan Swami. Then the second thing was, she thought of her things. And the third, I don't remember. But it was not the person I expected she would remember. What did you think? I asked the man. Well, I thought of my passport. In India, you need a passport. And then I thought of my dress and my luggage. And I asked, didn't you think of your wife or your husband? No. We only thought of ourselves and our comfort or discomfort in this case. This is the fact, my dear devotees. We are selfish. We have put ourselves in the center. We are very concerned to enjoy and control in this world, and there is not much place for love of Krishna in our psychology, our conditioned psychology. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada very convincingly says, the fact that we love ourselves means that we really love Krishna. I want to encourage all of you a little by reading to you something of Srila Prabhupada, who in an analytical way discusses why to love Krishna is only a little step which we must take, a step of redirecting our wrongly placed love, which at this moment dwells very much on our body and our comfort. Prabhupada says, actually, we love Krishna. That is the fact. But we have forgotten it. We are under illusion. Just you analyze yourself. So now you have to become doctors. Varijan, you are ready to analyze yourself. Kunja Bihari, you are ready. Why we love this body so much? It is very easy to understand. Because the soul is there. Does anybody love a dead body? Is there in any instance a dead body is loved and embraced and taken into the room and kept there? Nobody cares. Throw it or burn it. So the body is not a lovable object. But because the soul is there within the body, therefore we love this body. Now he gives an example. This house, if it is vacant, nobody will come. But because there is Krishna, or because there are devotees of Krishna, so many people come. Not that this house is lovable. Similarly, you analyze, you love this body. You work so hard, day and night, to keep this body fit. Why? Because the proprietor of the body, the soul, is there. So this is the first step. You become aware, I'm living within the body. I don't love the body, I love the I, the soul. You transfer the love from the body to the soul. Next question. Then why do you love the soul? What is lovable with the soul? Because it is part and parcel of Krishna. therefore we love the soul. So ultimately the love goes to Krishna. This is natural feeling of love between Krishna or God and between living entities. But the Maya is interrupting the relation. It is called illusion. The process of interruption is called illusion. Otherwise we, every one of us, we love Krishna. Every one of us. And Prabhupada said, you analyze. Please, don't believe. You analyze. You see that ultimately love goes to Krishna. My dear devotees, I find this so great. We all have emotions in us. A lot of love is kept in us. But the natural flow of this love is interrupted at this moment. Instead of placing it to the soul in relationship to Krishna, instead of placing it to Krishna, we place it on this body. Material life means interrupted love. Sex means interrupted love. Hare Krishna. Love interruptus. So this is something to think about. Love interruptus. Krishna consciousness means to put it back into the place. I want to soon make a little meditation with us. Now when there is love interruptus, it is dissatisfying. We know in the world of anyways, I do not want to get into sexual psychology here with all of you, people know when there's an exchange, an attempt to love, and it does not work for some reason, it is interrupted, it is highly frustrating. And our experience in this world are very often that friendships are interrupted. Loving relationships are interrupted. So on. Prabhupada said once very openly, they are interrupted because everyone wishes to control and own it and direct it and manipulate it for his own selfish relationship. Prabhupada once gave a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, which I think is very nice also to become aware of in our ISKCON world, where we have to think about loving relationships a lot, where we also have to think, have we respected women enough? Have we respected children enough? Give up the Prabhupada says, here in this material world, we all want to be Purusha, enjoyer. But the Purusha is imitation. He's actually Prakriti, but is falsely representing himself. In the material world, we are falsely dressed with the material body, imitating Krishna, either dressed in male or female dress. Both of them, male and female, are originally Prakriti, female, to be enjoyed by Lord Krishna, to be under the protection of Srimati Radharani, the supreme female, and to be engaged in loving devotional service in under her guidance in Krishna's Krishna consciousness. Yes. So, to become aware of our spiritual identity, I want to suggest to all of you now three steps. with a critical eye, I'm watching my audience. You are a little tired. You have eaten a good lunch, prasadam. It is now revolving in your stomachs. You're working hard on the digestion. I would suggest to you after the meal, we can't do it now, although it would be an interesting part of the seminar if we all lie down on the left side for 15 minutes. But it would be too controversial. Not very suitable also for all of us in the same room. We would feel not so... culturally not so accommodated in such a circumstance. So I will make a little risk with you. Let's see. Yes, I will do first in the three steps with you in an intellectual way. You have to think about it, and then we will meditate. Is that a good thing? Because if I meditate without explaining, you will not get so much into the experience. I've done these meditations with big groups, and people have come to me afterwards and said, this is the real... Finally, I've meditated and made a spiritual experience, and I hope to be able to serve you today with this spiritual experience. It will be your own experience. It's really not that I can give you a spiritual experience. You have to make it. I have very deeply thought about a nice meditation process based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And after many years of really trying to find out how to bring devotees very quickly to a spiritual experience based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings, I felt comfortable to have found something. Then I'm practicing this now over a period of 3 years. I was often in the Himalaya mountains for the last years, and I went into caves to try this process out, and it works very nice. And for the first time, I feel now comfortable to invite all of you to make an experience with me. There are three steps to this process, which you have heard a million times. Is this a board we can write on? I think so, yes. Or maybe I can ask a good writer. I think Yadunandan Prabhu, you take notes. Someone who is a good writer. Kunya Biharini, you are extremely good in writing. You can climb on the stage, not through here, it will be, but there is a staircase for you, and here is your pen. This is Kunya Biharini. She is a student of architecture, and certainly able to write nicely, because you have to draw so much. The first step is to become, please write down, to become aware of my spiritual identity as a soul. Srila Prabhupada writes in the second chapter of the Gita that spiritual realization in Krishna consciousness starts on that level. If you think you're the body, it's difficult. When you think of the devotee who, the pujaris, before they go into the sacred room of the altar, they do a prayer which is called the Buddha Shuddhi meditation. A prayer where they try to realize themselves like this. Buddha means the material elements, and Shuddhi means to become free from. They say, because they want to approach the Lord not as a German or American, but as an eternal soul, a part of the Lord. They say, this is the prayer, by nature I am Krishna's eternal servant. But due to my own misfortune, I have become adverse to Krishna since time immemorial. As I identify myself with my temporary material body, I'm constantly migrating in the cycle of samsara, always suffering the threefold miseries of material life. But now, due to some inconceivable good fortune, my spiritual master's mercy has enabled me to know that I am Krishna's eternal servant, an infinitesimal spiritual being, completely apart from the gross and subtle body. And so, by the order of my spiritual master, I have obtained the good fortune of serving his lotus feet and following in his footsteps the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri, here in Belgium you would say Radha Gopinath, I would say Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. So, very short, briefly, you become aware, I'm an eternal servant. Due to some reason, I'm now averse, I'm living in separation. But now I've attained the good fortune, now I will serve you as your eternal servant in my spiritual, being aware of my spiritual identity. It's very important. Buddha Shuddhi meditations are very important to take on each day. I want to encourage you every day to pause for a moment. I am actually a part of Krishna. Sometimes we are a little mental when we are on the street or when we are in the Mataji body. We are also sometimes a little mental. Male and female have the same thing. Think, I am actually eternal. Raghunath Prabhu, you are eternal. You are full of bliss. Vijay, you are full of knowledge. Vijay looks already enlightened by just hearing it. This is very important to be aware that you are spiritual, not just. It helps so much. You can become happy by this meditation. The second step is practice the observer role. That is, learn to observe yourself from the spiritual point of view. Am I doing everything right? I can, if you want, I can observe myself for a moment. But this I will do in a little later. This observing oneself and stepping into the observer role will help you actually to be a little, let me say, distanced from the experience, and to not only always react to the stimuli which you get, but to monitor your behavior so that you go the road of enlightenment and Krishna consciousness. Konya Biharini will write down for you a verse where you can read about this observer role. It's in the Gita, 5th chapter, text 8. I want to read it to you in English. A person in the divine consciousness or in the Hare Krishna movement. This is my own interpolation. Let us stay with the text, really. A person in the divine consciousness, although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing. So he does all these things, but he always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. This means you are observing yourself. Oh, Sachinanda Swami, you are speaking now. And you are sweating a little bit because you are not sure if your audience will capture the point. I see you're getting more insistent and urgent in your messages. And I can ask myself questions. Do you really think with kindness of your audience that you wish to help them? Hare Krishna, thank you for your very relevant observations. This, the Gita continues. Because while speaking, oh, now it gets a little private, evacuating, receiving or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. Prabhus, we so often observe others. They are doing this. Most of the time we are a little critical. Are they doing it nice? Maybe not. But we cannot change others. Learn to observe the person you can change, and that is yourself. Then you will be happy. Then life will become an adventure. Most of the time we just sit in our own skin, rotting away due to the impulses which are born from the mind which controls us, and the senses very often. Spiritual life means to become the observer. Prabhus, what I have done, I've given my my devotees in the seminars sometimes little pieces of paper which are self-adhesive, which you can stick like on the wall, and I've requested them to stick them at the bathroom mirror or at the door before they go out. And on this pieces of paper was a note: practice today the observer role. It's something which will give you a great experience. Your whole life will be an adventure. You will find, because you are interested anyways in yourself. But this time, observe yourself from a spiritual perspective and help yourself to be more spiritual. The last meditational step is see Krishna's guidance and control behind everything. See Krishna's guidance and control behind everything. In the Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, verse 30, Krishna expresses this. Please write down 6th chapter, verse 30. For one who sees me everywhere, Krishna says, and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Hare Krishna. So we will now make and thank you very much. Have you written down 6:30? Very good. So I've given you these references. Here you can read in the first point, to become aware of my spiritual identity. Please write down, Kunya Biharini, Buddha Shuddhi prayers. They're in the Pancharatika Pradeep, published by our Krishna Chetra Prabhu in this nice, we call them the red books. They are in every pujari room. So what we will do now, I want to give you a short, what do you think? I want to now make a meditational journey. Would it be good if we have like 3 minutes to stretch? Should I give you a very nice stretching exercise? We will get ourselves ready for the meditation. I have requested some devotees to please open the windows. And I will show you a very simple yoga exercise which will make you fit for the meditation. Is that all right? Good. We will make some yoga music. Can you kindly raise from your chairs? It won't be a wild thing, don't worry. because sometimes we do dynamic meditations. Please stretch just a little bit. so that you're comfortable. Marajis, you please allow me. I will look towards this direction so that you can uninhibitedly do it and not feel observed. While breathing in, you bring the arms to the... Please look at me first. To the highest position. And then while breathing out, you come down. I will show this to you. You may have to do some architectural alterations where you stand, but you just do it a few times, yes? Thank you very much. Now, Hare Krishna, Haribo. So, thank you very much. Now I would request you to sit down comfortably. For this exercise, it might be best if you don't take the help of the... What is it, Lakshmimoni, where we lean against? Simply the back of the chair. You might like to sit down. We will now do a very simple process of meditation. I will guide you in a little breathing exercise. Sanatan Goswami in Hari Bhakti Vilas speaks about this, that before meditating, we do this, and then I will take you through the three steps, which might help you to become aware of you as being spiritual and being a part of Lord Krishna. Those of you who do not feel comfortable in meditating for some reason can just watch and listen and observe, but those who want to give it a try are very much welcome to do so. I want to request you very much to not make noises and respect the peaceful mood which will happen here. Please feel comfortable. I will not do anything you know, it will be extremely peaceful. You don't need to open your eyes and check what I'm doing. I will just sit here. Sometimes one doesn't know with seminar givers, but I can assure you. And we just want to become aware of ourselves being part and parcels of Krishna, because our seminar will be very much resting on this general fact that we are eternal souls who are part of the Lord Krishna. Please sit comfortably, and when you are ready, please close your eyes. We will now try to enter our deeper states of consciousness while walking over the bridge of our breathing, a practice which is given in Hari Bhakti Vilas and which is used since time immemorial in the yoga cultures of the Vedas. Please breathe in very deeply. Try to breathe in into the belly area. You might like to take your left or right hand and place it on your belly. When you breathe in, the belly should slightly protrude, and as you breathe out, belly goes back towards the spine. Breathe in deeply and exhale deeply. In the Gita, Lord Krishna describes that he is prana, the air, who is with us all the time. Now we will just concentrate on this aspect of the Lord. Breathe in very deeply and exhale deeply. Please try to not think of anything else than just breathing. In, deeply out, in and out as it comes naturally. Let us not force our breathing, but let us try to make it more deep. Very good. As I will continue to speak to you, please always address your breathing. Don't stop breathing. Just continue in and out. In and out. While you breathe in and out, please relax your legs. Be aware that you have to remain sitting. Relax the upper part of your body, from the place where you sit up to the shoulders. Relax your shoulders, please, and the arms. And now you relax the face with its 1,200 or so muscles. No one will look at you. You don't have to smile at anyone. What a relief. Just relax your face. Totally relax your face. Continue to breathe in and out. Just need to breathe. What an easy life. Now, please be so kind to concentrate your attention to that place where the air first comes in contact with your body. We breathe in through our nose and out of our nose. We will now find out how does it feel in the nose as the air first touches our body. Maybe it feels a little cooler on one side, maybe in the left nostril, or maybe in the right nostril. Maybe a little itchy. Maybe a little unpleasant or pleasant. Let us find out the feeling which arises when the air first comes in contact with our body, with our nostrils. Is it inside the nostril, deep inside, or a little just where the nostril opening is? Keep breathing. Some of you are stopping to breathe like Sherlock Holmes when he finds a finding. Breathe in and out. Now, as we continue to breathe, we go into the area of the heart. There we are, the soul. Srila Prabhupada has assured us, like all the Vedic teachings, that we are a part of Krishna. Let us meditate for a while on being this part of Krishna. Krishna is Sat, or eternal. We are also eternal. Krishna has a beautiful vigraha, a body which is full of chit, knowledge. We also are full of chit, or knowledge. And Krishna is the Ananda Vigraha, full of bliss. We are also full of bliss. We are not miserable. Our body might sometimes pain. And we might have difficult relationships or even unanswered questions in our life. But really, as part and parcel of Krishna, we are full of bliss. Please breathe in deep and breathe out deep. Now try to make a little journey in your mind. Move out of your body and look at your body. Move high where the ceiling is. Look down. Your body is parked on the chair. It breathes in and out. Seeing it. You can see your head. Maybe your shoulders, maybe your knees. You are actually not the body. You are in the body. You're using it like a car. You have used it in a useful way to come to Radha Desh. Okay. We go again back into the area of the heart and we meditate or think deeply that we really have a relationship with Krishna. What it is will unfold like a flower which unfolds from the bud into the blossoming state. But we have a relationship. Whatever happens in this world with us is under the control of Krishna. Not even a grass arm, a blade of grass, can move without the wind, and the wind is under the control of Krishna like everything else. Let us try to understand why things happen to us the way they happen. If there's maybe something which Krishna wants to teach us and which we have not yet discovered. Breathe in deep and out, please. Slowly we will go back to our normal situation. We can feel ourselves sitting in the chair. We can continue to breathe, but when you are ready, please open the eyes. Maybe you wish to stretch a little around. Can you feel this? Another atmosphere in the room now. You might think, well, Sachinandan Swami, thank you very much for this exercise. Do you mean that we should do this every day like we have done so? I really do. My answer to this is, I also don't do this with the breathing and so on, with the going out of the body and in the body and all of this. No, I really think it's sufficient to just do these things in a way. Sometimes when I'm in the car, I'm doing it. Sometimes when I'm getting up and I'm a little bit disturbed by the fact that I have not rested enough and have to do so much service, it helps very much to become aware of my spiritual identity. You might like to pray the Buddha Shuddhi prayers, and we can find them actually. I think Vishnumurti Prabhu, I will look them up in Vishnumurti's book Ashai for you in the red books. Then next time, or I will write them down on which page you can find them and copy them. They would be very useful, I think, for you. Then the second thing is practice the observer's role. Do it today. As you go, let us say, in the Arctic, you look at the deities, look at yourself, or when you are in a conversation, quickly look at yourself, observe yourself, and you might find, why do I always try to tell something to him? He wants to tell me also something. Let me understand what he wants to tell me. And then finally, try to see, Krishna's guidance and control behind everything. In order to deepen these points, it might help you to look up these verses in the Gita, think about them, and maybe speak with friends about them. I want to end this seminar with a nice little quotation from Srila Prabhupada. It's very nice. where Prabhupada gives like an open invitation. I've never seen it so much as in this sentences. You are frustrated in friendship? Come on, make friendship with me. You are frustrated in getting a good master? Come on, serve me, and I become your good master. You are frustrated in the love of your son? Have me as your son. Because here we are frustrated with our sons and daughters. We expect something, and when they grow up, they go in their own ways, and we are frustrated. Accept Krishna as your son. That is the whole philosophy. Become serious and make your relationship with Krishna. According to that desire, you will be happy. Perfectly happy. Never to be cheated. We will go tomorrow into a very interesting journey, philosophical journey it will be, where we will first become aware of our basic relationship. We will learn ways to meditate on Krishna in his creation. We will go into super soul directions. And day three, that's the day after tomorrow. That's the best way. Best day. We will do something. We will do an exalted practice called Mantrapasana, which you will not believe it. Prabhupada has, we are doing it every day. We will go through the Govindam prayers, what they mean. Why is it that we chant them every morning? What are the meditations in relation to it? I think after this day, you will all have enlightened Govindam Adipurusham days when you are before the deities. I want to thank you very much. I see our kind Braj Bihari Prabhu, who is the time, always the time factor. We have come to the end of our seminar. Please be with us as much as you can. I always am encouraged to have you here. And yes, I think it will be very interesting. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.